Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
We do a series called All In. That is preached on our core values. The first one we spoke on was family. The significance of not just our biological family, but our spiritual family. And the role that plays, and even he touched on things like putting one thing that we really believe really strongly in is not putting our family on the altar of ministry. And even luckily for myself, that's something very, very challenging for an S guy, apparently. And we also touched on worship. What worship really means, and even living a lifestyle of worship and what it looks like. Last week, he spoke on outreach, how we are really called for outreach, and you know, it's as easy as it is for us to come to church every Sunday and you know, hang around with each other. That's really what we need to be doing, and you know, the people out there who don't yet know Jesus are not going to get saved if we don't get out there. And so we have to get our hands dirty. And so this week, I'm finishing it off and wrapping it all up. And I'll be speaking on discipleship. Can everyone say discipleship? This is something that I know as a church, you know, my message this evening really is to share what our church, you know, what our heart is really all about, discipleship. You know, I know that the word discipleship can sometimes sound a bit strange to some people, and a lot of people don't understand what the word means, so I'm going to help describe it by breaking it down. And so, discipleship, it's made of two words. The first word, disciple, means pupil or student. The word disciple, when you break it down, it means follower, pupil, student, follower. But it wasn't, back then, it wasn't used in the same context that we use it today. Follower wasn't a groupie or anything like that, but it really meant to be a student who followed under a teacher, but who followed under a teacher in relationship. So you had a relationship with the teacher that you followed under. And the sort of teaching that you would get from your teacher or the guy who discipled you was not the sort of teaching you get in high school, like calculus or English, science, but it was more on a deeper level, life lessons, that sort of thing. In which case, you know, when you followed a teacher as a disciple, it meant you were in a relationship learning life lessons under this person. And so the second word, ship, comes from an old English word, means in the state of, or to be contained on a journey. And so when you put the two things together, you know, you are following someone in a relationship while being contained in a journey. Jesus played a really good role model with discipleship, with the 12 guys that he had underneath him. And so tonight I'm going to try and break it down as much as I can to help us really understand what discipleship really means. I know for a long time I thought discipleship was some sort of program or a process, but not until I really got down to the essence of what it's all about. And so hopefully by the end of the night you'll have a clue what discipleship is. If not, Google. So, discipleship is relationship. So my title for my message is hashtag relationship goals. Anybody got any relationship goals? No? No one got any relationship goals? Damn it. I love relationship goals. Actually, no, I don't, because I already have my goal. Yeah, and so, so apparently the ladies came back from Victory Weekend. Yeah? So I heard, this is what I heard, that, I heard that my wife is like, submissive level is going up to two dinners, two breakfasts, two... No, I'm really excited to go home with my new wife tonight, so I'll let you guys know next Sunday. And we'll let you know, Tina, if we need to do another one soon. But yeah, so discipleship is really... back to the topic. Relationship. And so one of the best verses that defines discipleship is this Matthew 28:18-19. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of age. So just before Jesus left to the heavens, back to his dad, this was the last thing he left with us. And so this is really what Christianity is all about, making disciples. And so, Jesus himself gives us instruction to make disciples of all nations. I'm not sure, but I know as a member or someone who attends church, you can this easily sit, in your seats or in the pews, and you kind of think that the leaders and the pastors are the ones to make disciples, and you just kind of turn up to church. But for us to really make this happen and be able to make disciples in every nation requires each and every one of us. We can't really leave this to our pastor Tina and Nelly to do. We can't really leave this to just the pastors and the leaders. We really need to get our hands dirty and get our hands on for us to bring this into fruition. And so the key to understand what discipleship really means is by going through the things that he taught us to do. So just making disciples. So we know we've got to make disciples. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. With the word baptism, I guess the problem with it, it's not really a problem, but if I were to ask seven people what baptism meant, you'd probably get seven different answers. And so we will go look to Jesus to see what baptism meant for Jesus. And so this is what we need to do, and we're going to go to baptism. I'm just going to break down something on baptism. In Matthew 3, verse 15, Jesus got baptized by his cousin John. Does anyone remember that? And so what happened was he came to John baptized him. But the significant thing wasn't the fact that he was immersed under the water, but was what happened when he came out of the water. When he had come out, it says there in Matthew 3:15 that the heavens opened and the Holy Spirit came down in the form of a dove, and God spoke, the Father spoke from heaven, and he said, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. And so this scene here where Jesus gets baptized, comes out of the water, really shows that baptism is not a religious ritual, but it's a relationship. This was really the first kind of time you get a picture of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity. And everyone say Trinity.
Trinity.
Okay, you're still there. Hi, Trinity. Liole vale. Vave. And so, in order for us to understand that, baptism really is a symbol of, when Jesus got baptized, it was a symbol of him stepping into establishing a relationship between the Father, him, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I'm going to take it back even further than that to the beginning, to where we kind of get a glimpse of the Trinity. And I'm going to try and break down this relationship of Jesus, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so I just want to point out this. From the beginning, when God made the heavens and the earth, and all the creatures, living creatures. The interesting thing is that every time he says in the Bible that he created something, it spoke of God as a single entity. God created the heavens and the earth. God created the animals, and they reproduced after its own kind. But the one thing that is very interesting is that when it gets to the time where he creates mankind, the narrative changes, there's a shift. As you guys can see, it says, "Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, according to our likeness." And so, when I was looking at this, I see God made animals, God made creatures, and then when it shifts to mankind, he talks about it changes to from God as himself to let us make mankind in our image, according to... And so this is really the first time you kind of get a glimpse of God from the relational perspective. The very unique thing about the God that we serve in Christianity is that God claims himself that he is one God in three persons. He is a God of relationship. That's what he's all about. And he has a capability of having a relationship within himself. He doesn't need you. He doesn't need me to have a relationship. He can have a relationship between himself. And even, at times, the more I've kind of looked into this Trinity, you can kind of either get confused or baffled. But it's really a complex picture of God as a relational God. And so when he created all these creatures and everything, he created them. But when he created mankind, we were made in the image of the relational God. And that's why, we need relationship. There is a desire, naturally as humans, to have relationship. If you close your eyes, even for a moment, not now, but and you kind of delete everyone that's in your life that you have a relationship with, you will soon realize that there's no point in living. I can't imagine living without my wife, my children, everyone around me. There's just no point. We were designed for a relationship. We were designed for love. And we were designed by a God of relationships. And so that's really what discipleship is. Discipleship is relationship. Genesis 1:26. Why were we made? And this is something I want to touch on. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image according to our likenesses, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. I've got a question for you guys. Did God know before creating mankind that they were going to sin? He did. Okay. And so if he did, why did he put mankind in that position? Why did he entrust mankind with rulership over all creation? And this really here is when the picture of when God establishes the foundation of all relationship, which is trust. And so God from the very beginning really has demonstrated, or is demonstrating through this, through his relationship with Adam and Eve and his creation, of how relationship is supposed to look like. And, if we are here to help people grow in discipleship, it's not a program, it's not a process, it's not about what you do, but it's all about taking and bringing people one step closer to trusting in their God. Why did God give, well, I probably shouldn't say the ability, but, when God had created mankind and when God gave Adam and Eve rulership over all creation, the beautiful thing about this is that he didn't give them the ability to sin and to do, but he gave them freedom of choice. And so he gave them the ability to choose. But the reason why was, in order for a relationship to be genuine, they have to be able to choose to love. And so he had establish, you know, because he could have easily created robots and said, put them in the garden, you're not allowed to eat of that tree, and they would have just, we will not eat of that tree. Then we will die. Yeah, but, you know, this God of relationships is a lot cleverer than we are, creates mankind, puts us in a position where, to make it authentic, you know, gives us the to love Him. And so, the thing about trust is, in order for trust to be established, it has to be tested. And so if God had not allowed them to be tested, then He wouldn't be able to trust it or entrust it. I mean, how many people here would go buy a car if it hadn't been trusted, tested? You know, how many people here would go and take a drug from the pharmacy if it hadn't been tested? You want to make sure it's been tested to be able to trust it. Does that make sense? And so, obviously, He entrusted them with this rulership, with the rulership of all creation, but they failed. But the beautiful thing as well about God is that even though knowing that they were going to fail, and even though they did fail, He still stepped in, went out of His way to figure out a solution, which was His Son Jesus, who eventually came to redeem. And even reading this, when I had sort of read through, God had given them instruction not to eat of the fruit, but they could eat of any other tree. And when they had been cast out of the Garden of Eden, I don't have the verse here, but one thing that's really hit me about how loving our God is and how merciful He is that as they were leaving, even though they disobeyed and even though they disrespected His trust, He had clothed them with sheep clothing, I think it was. And so even though they had not listened to anything He said, he still went out of His way and He still loved them that much to be able to clothe them before they left. And so the second thing I want to be able to touch on is transparency. So I'm kind of doing a 3T thing. Do you remember the band 3T? It's pretty old school. I'm going to go to Genesis chapter 1. Actually, we'll go to chapter 3. And so God had put them in the garden, Adam and Eve. And yeah, you know, and so God had put them in the garden and had put them, allowed them to be tested. You know, when we, one thing about, I know about relationships is, even with my wife, is the importance of transparency. And so even, I mean, and I'm trying to touch on this even from a discipleship perspective, is that there is, it's really important that we are transparent, and I will kind of break down, I'll use their story, Adam and Eve, and the fall of mankind, to break it down. And so, what had happened was, they disobeyed, and God kind of come in. The first thing He says to Adam was a question, and the question was, Adam, where are you? And Adam had responded saying, I'm hiding. He wasn't wanting to be transparent, but he was hiding. And then God had asked him again another question. So He hadn't even preached to him or ground him up, but God already knew. You know, I'm sure if we were to, I don't know, even when I think about this, it says that Eve had eaten from the fruit of the tree. You know, and a lot of the ladies kind of get some rep for this, and you know, we kind of joke around saying it was that woman that you gave me. But you know, when you think about it, God had given instruction to Adam that you shall not. So He said this directly to Adam: you shall not eat of the fruit from this one tree out of all the thousands of trees that might have been there in the garden. You know, it was just one tree. When I kind of think back, like, I wonder if, you know, it would have been pretty cool for us to see if there was a CCTV footage of what it looked like. And it doesn't say this, but I'm a bit curious that, because God has said to Adam, and Eve was the one that picked the fruit, did Adam kind of set his wife up to be the test dummy to see if it was legit? And I bet you, I don't know, I was thinking about this the other day, but it'd be pretty fun if you zoomed out and you see Adam holding the ladder while Eve's picking the fruits, getting her hands dirty, and she gets the blame. But, you know what, and so the second thing that God says to him is another question. Who told you that you were naked? And this is another trust question, you know. Who do you trust? Who did they find out from? And then so he returns to Eve with a third question. And he hasn't even grabbed him off or said anything else, you know, or even preached a word. But the question that he asked Eve was, have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you? And another thing about relationship is truth. In this situation, Eve wasn't wanting to admit to the truth. And she turned around and said, it was the devil. The devil made me do it. And God turns around to Adam and says, you know. And then Adam, the cool guy that he is, says, it was the woman that you gave me. And then he even has the nerve to turn around and say, actually, it was the woman that you gave me. You know, not wanting to admit to the truth of what was really going on. And if you want to learn trust, the one thing we have to realize is that if trust is the foundation of every relationship, then truth is really the beginning. Without the foundation of truth, our relationships really won't work. You know, our relationships with each other and our relationships with God Himself. With this picture of Adam and Eve, and as they established, as God had not used them, but through this scene of the creation of mankind and Him allowing them to be tested, He had really kind of showed these key things that we really need for relationships. And you know, even to the more we learn how much God really wants a relationship with us, the more we're able to impart that to other people. And you know, really discipleship, like when you go throughout the whole Bible, God is always continuing to use people. He's always finding a way to get through to people, because one, He's a God of relationships, and two, He wants to have a relationship with us. I was in the man cave, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, and we spoke about Abraham at the time. His name was Abraham, and this was after the fall of mankind, many years later. We had got down to Cain killed Abel. By the time we got to Abraham, at that time, there was one sort of ray of hope, was this one family line, the family of Seth, who were known to keep the knowledge of the true God. And so all the other families and the other tribes had just gone haywire and worshipped all these other gods. And then it come down to a point where Terah, Abraham's dad, they were on their way to another city, and Terah and even Moses, Abraham, I keep saying Moses, Abraham, Terah and Abraham himself, their whole family, they were the last family that knew anything about this true God, but they, even themselves, they had turned and worshipped other gods. And you know what the cool thing is, that like when you think about it, Abraham was really the end of that line. And if Abraham died, if he had no children, then the knowledge of God would have been lost completely. But, and not even that, even physically, Abraham's wife was barren and she wasn't even able to have kids anyway. But, you know, God somehow steps in and calls Abraham to come out and calls him into a relationship. And then through Abraham, He begins to call him, tell him, and give him a call, and tell him that he was going to be a father of many, you know, and within a situation that looked very impossible, he managed to get back in, and it was all about trying to keep relationships. When you go through David, you know, there was just God always wanted to have a relationship with us. And, you know, when it comes to discipleship, that's really what it is. It's about us having a relationship with God, pursuing this, you know, this teacher, or through teaching, while being contained on the journey. But at the same time, it's also about us transferring that truth that we receive. You know, I mean, it's so easy to be the type of Christian where you probably call it the stingy Christian, where you come to church on Sundays, you kind of get your feeding, you get your praise on, and you go away feeling, you know, you have a high, and you know, you're really encouraged to do the rest of the week. But, you know, we can't keep this Jesus, this gospel, to ourselves, because there is so many other people out there that are waiting to hear your testimony. There are so many other people out there that need to hear this Jesus that we come here every Sunday to worship. But the only way that they're really going to be touched is if we go therefore and make disciples, if we go outside, you know. And so, you know, one thing, just as I wrap it up, you know, even though Adam and Eve had failed in this area, and God had sent Jesus to redeem us back to Him, because He really has that, you know, that much love for us, and He's that graceful and merciful that He really wants to redeem us back to Him through relationship. So Jesus came down Himself, and you know, He demonstrated exactly how relationship and discipleship, relationship was supposed to look like. You know, when I think about the where Jesus, before He knew He was on His way to get crucified, and He was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and He went and prayed one last prayer. It says in there that that He was, you know, on His knees praying to God, and He was in such desperation that He was literally sweating and crying blood. And He was asking God, you know, is this really the only way we can do it? If there's another way, would You be open to let this cup pass? You know, when I think about that, another way to put it really is, you know, Jesus was sent to die on the cross, not just for our sins, which is great, but it was really for us to be redeemed, to have a personal relationship with God. And, you know, when I kind of, I'm a father, I've got four, you know, beautiful kids, and to kind of put me in that, you know, put myself in those shoes, it's a pretty scary thing. I can't imagine my son being on his knees, crying out desperately to the point where he's bleeding, sweating tears, asking me, "Dad, is this the only way? Do I really have to die?" Do you know how? I'm gonna slow down. But you know, that's how it was. And Jesus really displayed this. You know, He had to really trust God, that God knew what He was doing. He was transparent. You know, He was literally trying to ask God, is there another way around this? But He continued to trust God. And you know, He lived out a life full of truth, because He was the truth. And so, you know, one thing I want to leave with you guys tonight is, are you guys willing to go all in with your relationship with God? Are you willing to go all in and pursuing this relationship that God is calling you to? And are you willing to go all in to really let go of the things we can't depend on? You know, life is really, can get crammed and clogged up with so much stuff, work, career, this, that, and you can kind of get so distracted chasing all these things and filling up your time with all these things. But like Nelly shared weeks ago, of the analogy of with using the rope, and how that long extension of the rope was eternal life, and only like a small part is really what signified our life, our time here on earth. You know, our life here is so short, so short. If you're lucky, you live to 80 years old. I don't know how many years I've got left in me, but, you know, it's really about living for the next life. But, you know, it's one thing to know that you are saved, but it's another thing to follow through and transfer and share and be able to take your family with you. I mean, the last thing I want to do is to be able to stand on Judgment Day or before the gates of heaven and to see people that I have a relationship with, people that live right next door to me, people that were my own blood, my own family, not standing there next to me. This life is so short, and we can easily lose perspective of what it's really about, you know. And so I encourage you guys today that, you know, as we close this off, to really ask yourself if you're really willing to go all in. If you're really willing to go all in through the things that God is calling, the things that really matter, you know, and not get so distracted and pursue all these things that by the end of our life will mean nothing, you know. So I just really want to encourage you guys today to really pull yourselves back and kind of take a look at your life, you know, from a broad perspective to see, you know, what are you really living for? Are you living for yourself? Are you kind of living for yourself and God? You know, God has gone such a long way and paid such a huge price to have a relationship with you. You know, when it comes to discipleship, a lot of times the reason why we kind of are skeptical about it, or the reason why we don't like it, is really because we don't understand what it really means, what it really means to God. You know, each and every one of you were created for a relationship with each other, but most importantly with God Himself.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.